Last weekend in San Francisco, the Walt Disney Family Museum opened. It was founded by Disney's daughter and grandchildren and aims to celebrate Disney the man, from his childhood and early years as a struggling artist to his groundbreaking animations, his vision for Disneyland, and the world-dominating entertainment empire we know today.
You guys are really big Miley Cyrus fans. Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to win some really cool memorabilia, and Miley Cyrus has signed it, okay?
One key to the Disney Company's success is its carefully managed musical sensibility. Studio 360's Eric Molinsky asked some insiders how that all works.
Disney got into the music business by accident. Usually the songs written for Disney cartoons were instantly forgotten. But in 1933, Disney put out a cartoon called The Three Little Pigs, which featured this little tune.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
It's generally seen today as kind of an antidote to the Depression because so many people figuratively had the wolf at the door. In Three Little Pigs, they could see the pigs conquering their wolf.
J.B. Kaufman has written several books about Disney animation, and he consulted with the Disney Museum.
Before the end of 1933, it was in the repertoire of dance bands, and it had been recorded by a number of jazz singers. It became a whole new phenomenon for the Disney studio. They now had a hit song on their hands, and they were allied with the popular music business.
Walt seized on this opportunity. He had reflected popular taste, but now he wanted to shape it. In 1937, Snow White featured the song "Someday My Prince Will Come," a serious love song between cartoon characters. This was actually cutting edge, an original song to advance the plot. Snow White came out 6 years before Oklahoma opened on Broadway, and that's usually considered the first modern musical.
And by this time, there had been several Disney features that continued this idea of wonderful songs, songs that are capable of standing on their own, but in context are woven into the flow of the story.
Then Walt became more ambitious. In the movie Fantasia, he combined classical music with animation. But Fantasia was a flop. I mean, most of the classic Disney features lost money. Walt was afraid the studio would go under. So after the war, Walt Disney Inc. came out with a new model. They went multi-platform, cross-promoting Disney material through consumer products, theme parks, movies, and TV shows like The Mickey Mouse Club, featuring the Mouseketeers. They saved the studio, but Disney was no longer pushing musical tastes. They were borrowing from popular styles. Richard Sherman and his brother Bob wrote songs for Annette Funicello, who was kind of the Hannah Montana of the 1950s.
And one little song we wrote called Tall Paul brought us to the attention of the boss.
Disney was impressed.
So he says, well, call me Walt, for God's sake. And that's when we became his staff songwriters. The only staff songwriters he ever had, actually.
The Sherman brothers brought Disney music to a new level of stickiness. The Shermans wrote Mary Poppins. The Jungle Book. And one of the biggest earworms of all time. It was originally written for the 1964 World's Fair. Disney had been asked to create a ride with characters from around the world singing songs in their own languages, but it was a mess, so we called in the Shermans.
People say, oh, it's such a simple song, but it isn't simple. It's a world of laughter and a world of tears. It's a world of hopes and a world of fears. There's so much that we share that it's time we're aware. It's a small world after all. That's a very, very deep prayer. It's a prayer that we should respect each other and love each other and not fight and disagree all the time. It came from our hearts and came from Walt's heart because he said, yeah, that'll work.
After Walt died, the Disney musical fell on hard times. That is until 1989, when Broadway composers Howard Ashman and Alan Menken wrote The Little Mermaid. But with the breakout success of Hannah Montana, the Disney brand has something really valuable. Disney is cool again, at least if you're nine.
I don't think they had done it since the days of like Annette Funicello and the Mouseketeers. It's been that long, but they're firing on all cylinders now. They have it figured out.
Danny Strick is a music publisher. He signed the Jonas Brothers, who, if you don't know, are kind of a light punk band for kids. He helped them get a deal with Disney, and he was amazed when he watched the marketing machine kick in.
By the time the Jonas Brothers' debut album came out, there already was a huge awareness. I was able to witness that really just with my kid and her friends and them wanting to go see shows and knowing every lyric and deciding which one was the one they liked. Very reminiscent of, you know, sort of an early Beatlemania type thing, you know.
Grown-ups can complain all they want. One angry father blogged, Hannah Montana's not a girl, she's a product, she's Pepsi, she's Coke, she's a living nightmare. Disney may not be advancing artistic taste, but some parents are worried that Disney is pushing an agenda.
Miley Cyrus, she's dancing with a pole, are you kidding me?
I think if we really take a look at all of the Disney stars over the past several years, there comes a time when all of them want to assert their independence and say to us, you know, hey,
Disney teen stars like
Miley
Cyrus, who plays Hannah Montana, are notorious for ditching their wholesome image at the height of their popularity. Or take Vanessa Hudgens, the star of Disney's retro High School Musical franchise. Her ex-boyfriend leaked nude photos of her on the internet. Parents were outraged, but Disney stuck with her.
I just don't think that would have happened, you know, 10 years ago. It's just my opinion, but I don't think they would have been able to handle it. And it just tells you that I think that people are aware of how things are today. If you have kids, they have access. It's just, and if you think you're protecting them in your house, they go to a friend's house. I think it's the world's evolving a little bit on that front.
Today, Disney's relationship with their teen pop stars reflects parents and kids in the internet age. The brand still promotes family values, but ask any parent, family values aren't what they used to be.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.